Good to see everyone who could be here this morning. There's some new faces and some old faces. And I don't mean age, I just mean ones that I'm more familiar with. This morning I have a fairly simple subject I wanted to talk to you about for just a short while. And even though it's simple and it's things that most in the world should be familiar with, the sad truth is that today and throughout the ages, these simple concepts have been corrupted and misunderstood time and time again. And it's all based on this question, who is Jesus to you? This question has been around for ages and has possibly as many answers to it as one could imagine. It's a very important question for every individual to consider for themselves, no matter what time they may have lived or what their situation in life may have been. This question is so important, in fact, that Jesus himself asked it of his disciples. And we can read of him asking them in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. And there the Bible says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here we find that Jesus and his disciples are in the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and it's interesting if we look at a little background information on this place where Jesus and his disciples are currently gathered. This area consisted predominantly of Gentiles or non-Jewish people and was located about 25 miles north of Bethsaida, where Jesus had recently healed a blind man, as we can read in Mark 8, verses 22 through 26. Now, this area was heavily steeped in the pagan religions of the day. In the ancient time, the city here had been called Balanus or Balanus because it had been the center or a center of Baal worship. Baal, after all, was the Phoenician god of fertility and nature. And later, the name of this city was changed to Panias because the Greeks believed that their god Pan was born in a cave in the hills located near the city at the foot of Mount Hermon. Pan was a half-goat, half-man god who was believed to be the guardian of flocks and nature. In fact, the modern name of this ancient area or city is Banias, which is a form of Panias. This region is still steeped in this history. And Caesarea Philippi also contained a gleaming marble temple that was built by Herod Philip to honor Caesar, the Roman emperor, who was considered by many in that time to be a god himself. And the citizens of the city were often required to enter this temple at least once per year and place a pinch of incense on a burning altar and proclaim that Caesar is Lord. So it's interesting that here in this city and this region that's quite clearly devoted to the worship of idols and man-made gods, that Jesus chose to make a fuller revelation of himself to his disciples. It was here that Jesus asked them this most important question, and here that Simon Peter stated the simple truth that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus used this tragic backdrop of the overwhelming and fickle paganism and worship of men of the world to cause his disciples to think about one of the most vital issues of life. After all, a correct understanding of who Jesus really is means the difference between being saved and being lost. It can mean the difference between heaven and hell. This backdrop is not so different from our world today when we really stop and think about it, which is full of hundreds of thousands of religions, many of which claim to have something special because they say they know the real Jesus. So today I want to take a closer look and really think about our Savior's question in Matthew 16, verse 15, whom say ye that I am? After all, your answer to this question will determine how you live your life here and how you act upon the teachings and words of Jesus. It will determine where you will go when you die. This could very well be the most important question that you will ever hear or that you will ever answer. Today, let's begin by taking this question and asking it of humanity. Let's see what they in general have had to answer. What have men said in the past? During Christ's life, men had quite a lot to say about him and who they believed him to be. In fact, in verse 14 of our text, we are given a short list of some of who people believed Jesus was. Some thought he was John the Baptist. And as we know from the scriptures, John was a holy man And he was the predecessor, or the one who prepared the way for Christ. He was fully dedicated to his work and mission, so much so that he eventually died for the cause. And apparently this was a fairly popular opinion that Jesus was actually John raised from the dead, as even King Herod believed him to be John in Matthew 14, verses 1 through 2. Elijah. Elijah was arguably the greatest of the Old Testament prophets by some. The Jews had long been expecting Elijah to return just before the Messiah came, as they believed was prophesied in Malachi 4 and verse 5. Now, ironically, this prophecy was in reference to the aforementioned John the Baptist. And even so, these men, or people of this time, got these men all mixed up and believed that Jesus was the forerunner to the Christ and not the Christ himself. Jeremiah. Jeremiah was another among the prophets, another great, as many feel, and he had much to say to the nation of Israel, and in fact had quite a few condemning messages, and likely they, for some reason, felt that one of the great prophets of old was surely going to return to them one day and bring a message to God, from God, before the Christ came. Sadly, they mistook the identity of Jesus, and thus really kind of missed the importance of his own message. Now, one of the prophets is the fourth thing mentioned, and it's not really made totally clear why they all believe that Jesus had to be one of the prophets and not the Christ himself. Perhaps it was simply ignorance of the signs of the Messiah. Or on the other hand, as we read about the Zealots, they had been so misguided in their understanding of what the Messiah's work and mission was going to be that they failed to recognize him when he stood before their very eyes. Now, these people mentioned so far and their beliefs in who he was were not totally wrong. Each of these views mentioned correctly elevated Jesus above the status of just an ordinary man. They at least understood that Jesus did have a message from God and was important. However, these views that we've noticed so far fall quite short of what is needed for salvation, what is needed to make a man change. Now, not everyone in Jesus' day thought as highly of him as was listed here. In fact, many thought that he was nothing more than a nobody. Some men went so far as to believe and to proclaim that Jesus was actually an evil man. Throughout his life, Jesus was called many derogatory things. He was called a lowly carpenter in Mark 6 and verse 3, the son of Joseph in John 6 and verse 42. He was called a sinner in John 9 verse 24, an illegitimate child in John 8 verse 41. He was even called a devil in Matthew 12, verse 24, a madman in John 10, verse 20, and he was considered the object of contempt and scorn in Matthew 27, verse 38 through 43. You see, it seems even in his own time, many did not really understand who Jesus was. Either they didn't understand or they didn't care. And this often was because they just did not want to know him. Many refused to listen to the Christ, rejecting his identity, and in the process, dooming themselves. In his own time, Jesus had followers who willingly believed in who he was and faithfully took up the banner of Christ. There were those who also thought highly of him, but did not fully understand his importance, and thus they did not act the way that they should have. And finally, there were those who did not believe him, but instead chose to mock, scorn, and eventually slay the Savior. Now it seems that the world of old was quite divided on the question of who Jesus is. Well, you know, they say today that hindsight is 20/20, so in the process of asking humanity what or who Jesus is, we now want to look at what men today have to say about the person of Jesus. You know, just as men in old times had varying opinions concerning the true identity of Jesus Christ in his own time, so they really still do today, and I can't say that it's been cleared up much more. Here, let's look at what a few people are saying about him in our day, the Jehovah's Witness. These people who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Michael, the archangel mentioned in the Bible, is the only begotten son prior to his incarnation and becoming Jesus Christ. You see, they seem to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and the Christ. They get those parts right, but they mistakenly claim that before becoming the Christ, he was actually Michael, the archangel, instead of being the Word who was equal to God and who was God, as John chapter 1 says. The Latter-day Saints, or better known as Mormons, believe that Jesus was the first baby born to God in heaven. They believe that God took on a physical form, and thus through natural processes, Jesus was born to him through Mary. They also believe that Jesus and Satan are spirit brothers. These ideas are corrupted and not necessarily ones that come from the Bible. Many of these ideas came from other books and texts, often made by founders of these religions at a much later date than the Bible, and you can begin to see why there is so much confusion in the religious world today. After all, the Muslims of the Islamic religion believe that Jesus was no more than a mortal man whom Allah took special favor on and made an example of for the Israelites. They also believe that those who claim Jesus is the Son of God are unbelievers. They believe that Jesus was a prophet but was not crucified on a cross. And they also believe that he will return one day, but they do not believe that he is God. The people of the Hindu faith believe that Jesus is just one of a million gods. And the Jewish Talmud. The Talmud are writings that detail how the Jews today are to live their lives. And they have the following extremely disrespectful things to say about Jesus and even Mary. She who was the descendant of princes and governors played the harlot with carpenters. This comes from Sanhedrin 106a. Miriam, or Mary the hairdresser, had sexual relations with many men. Shabbat 104b. Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. Sanhedrin 43a. Jesus is in hell being boiled in excrement. Giffen 57a. The Jews who believe in the Talmud quite clearly have a low opinion of Jesus and are no better than the ones in his day who mocked and ridiculed him and even at the time of his trial cried out for his crucifixion. It truly is a sad picture that those to whom Jesus came to first offer salvation chose to reject him and have such a despicably low opinion of him. You know, people living around us today have an opinion about Jesus Christ, whether they state it or not. You know, some think that he was simply a good and moral man. Others think that he was a great teacher. Some foolishly think he was nothing more than the son of a carpenter and one whom you could just mock, marginalize, and scorn. But the simple truth of it, as we have seen so far from humanity's perspective, is that they really haven't quite hit the mark. All these people and groups in the world have these wildly different ideas about who the Christ was, but none of them are really based in the Bible. They don't even use the book that claims to be the inspired word of God and is the story about our story of mankind, the scheme of redemption, and the good news that we can be saved by this very Jesus to found their beliefs. Since humanity hasn't been very helpful in determining the identity of Jesus, then we must ask another source. So what else could we ask? Well, we could ask heaven. After all, if we want to know about Jesus, we should reference the book about him, which conveniently has a lot to say and has several messages from his homeland. If we ask heaven, we can ask the sovereign God the Father. If you ask God who Jesus was, I'm sure he'd say the same thing today that he has said already. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 3, verse 17, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And also in the book of Matthew, but chapter 17 and verse 5, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" Quite clearly, the God the Father claims Jesus as his beloved Son. This is what we believe as Christians, and this is what makes Jesus so profoundly different from the prophets and what makes him our Lord and Savior. Now, God is not the only spiritual being who had something to say about the identity of Jesus. We could also ask the angels or the demons. There were times when beings of the spiritual realm other than God mentioned Christ or spoke face to face with Jesus and revealed something about who he was. The angels time and time again confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God, as well as that he was God. They also proclaimed him to be the Lord and Savior of mankind in verses such as Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, Luke 1, verse 26 through 38, and Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And now, even more impressive than those who were, as some might say, on Jesus' side, the angels and the demons, or the angels and God, the demons also affirmed some important things about Jesus for us. Even the demons confirmed Jesus to be the Son of God. Matthew 8, verse 29, "And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?' And Luke 4, verse 41, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, the best source we have is the one from which we have been drawing the majority of our information so far, the Bible, the book that was actually about Jesus, the one without which the world likely wouldn't know anything about Jesus. So naturally, we can look all throughout the Bible and find many things about Jesus and who he was. The Bible is filled with information about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the names given to Jesus in the Bible speak of his position. He is called Lord. This implies that he is in control, that he is deity. He is called Jesus, and this name means Jehovah is salvation. This is his earthly name, which reminds us that he is human. He is also called Christ, and this term means anointed, and it refers to Jesus as the one chosen by God to be the Messiah. The Bible was always crystal clear as to who Jesus Christ is. What is also interesting is that the Bible tells us that when he was in the world still did not know who he was, even though the world was made through him, in John 1, verses 1 through 10. Now also in the scriptures we can find what the saints of old had to say about this man Jesus. Many great figures of the New Testament offered their own personal testimony to the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could likely spend hours examining all the records and prophecies telling us of the person of Jesus and the wonderful things that he did, all of the miracles and works that he wrought. But for time's sake, we just want to notice the testimony of two men. John the Baptist, as he was recorded having said in John 1 and verse 34, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." And secondly, the testimony of Paul in Acts 9 and verse 20. "Immediately he preached Christ, the Christ, in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." So thus far we have learned really, I guess, two important things about Jesus that were reinforced over and over again. We know that according to his contemporaries and followers, as well as the book written about him, that he is the Son of God. And we also know that in the beginning he was with God and was God, and that the world was made through him. We have also learned that he became a man, the man named Jesus, and it was through this act and his subsequent life, work, and death that the way of salvation for the world was brought through him. Now, we want to go one step further and go to Jesus himself and see who he says he is for us. After all, what a person has to say about themselves or in defense of themselves is always important when you discuss their identity. So let's look at some of the things that Jesus claimed about himself. Jesus tells us first off that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, in John 14, verse 9. He also said that I and my Father are one, John 10 and verse 30. He said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He also said, "I am the bread of life," John 6, verse 35. "I am the light of the world," John 8, verse 12. "I am the door," John 10, verse 9. "I am the good shepherd," John 10 and 11. "I am the true vine," John 15, verse 1. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14, verse 6. "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11, verse 25. And finally, he said for himself, "I am the Son of God," John 10, verse 36. Jesus made some great claims for himself, which is not surprising after we can read of the amazing things which Jesus did. Truly, it's no surprise that the Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. Jesus came with a message for humanity, and his life, work, and teachings were recorded in the Bible for us, so if we want to know who he is, we need to do some reading. C.S. Lewis once said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not have been a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us." Now think about that. Jesus is known worldwide as a great man of morality, the great teacher, and a wise man of God. After all, his claims in the Bible We are not left this middle ground of him being a great human. How could we trust his teachings if they weren't true? If he lied in any one of these things, how could you take him at his word? If he lied about being the Son of God, how could you trust his teachings of morality? Thus, we come to the third party that we must ask about the Savior, and that is the heart. In the pages of the Bible, several people had a personal encounter with Jesus that forever changed their lives, and I would like to briefly share with you a few of their statements about Jesus after these encounters. Simeon said in Luke 2, verse 28 through 32, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Then Nathanael said in John 1 and verse 49, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Is not this the Christ?" Martha said in John 11, verse 27, "Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And lastly, the Roman centurion in Mark 15, verse 39, "Truly this man was the Son of God." You see, these people knew in their hearts who Jesus was. They saw his miraculous deeds, they witnessed his works and heard his wonderful teachings, and came to the conclusion that he really was the exalted Son of God. So it's kind of interesting, if not irritating, that today, here we are a couple thousand years removed from actually seeing and witnessing Jesus. We have a book to read about. We can read of the accounts, but we are not firsthand observers, eyewitness observers of Jesus and his works. Those who were claim undoubtedly that he was the Christ. They understand that he was the Son of God, but today, in the religious world, we keep seeing this trend and this fad, if you will, of people saying that's not quite who he was. We are at best fourth-hand witnesses, even though that's being very generous. We are so far removed that our beliefs today cannot contradict the Bible. You have to go to the book about Jesus to know who he is. Unfortunately, in the religious world, the Bible is under fire. And people don't want to go to the Bible to learn about Jesus. They want to decide for themselves who he is personally. But that's just not how it works. And now we come to the crux of the matter. What does our heart say? What has it been taught? What has it been told? What is the Bible saying to our heart? Who is Jesus to us? Today, we have heard what man has to say about Jesus. In fact, we can hear it every day of our lives if we really pay attention and choose to do so. Man's imagination has run quite wild about his personality, and we can see even in our time today that among humans, there are those who deny that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way of salvation. We have other testimony from lives that have been changed by Jesus. If we study the history of the church, especially the early years, we will find these testimonies strengthened. After all, if Jesus was not who he claimed to be, that made him a liar and a lunatic. And if these people who followed him in the early days of the church were dishonest, and if they followed a lie, well, they followed it to their graves. History tells us that many, if not most, of the Christians in the first century were tormented and murdered. They did not have an easy life. They did not really gain anything in life. So if this wasn't true, why dedicate yourself to this cause? We have heard the words of God Almighty, who claims Jesus as his only begotten and beloved Son. We have read the words of angels that they proclaim the truth of his deity and his mission of salvation. We even have the witnesses of the rebellious demons or demonic spirits attesting to his godhood. We have heard enough about Jesus to be convinced that he is someone about whom we must make a decision. With that in mind, what does your heart say about him today? Number one, is he a way to God, just one among many? Or is he the way to the truth, the way, the truth, and the life? Number two, is he a good man, a great teacher, and a prophet? Or is he the Son of God and your only hope for salvation? Number three, is he a liar and a lunatic? Or is he your Lord? And number four, what does your heart say? You know, there's an old song we sing which says, "Jesus is knocking at your heart's door, asking an entrance tonight." I want to ask you, what will Jesus hear from behind your heart's door? Will he hear "come in," or will he hear nothing? After all the things we've considered, it's time to answer the question, who is Jesus to you? Keep in mind that your answer must be honest. Ask yourself, is your answer the kind that pleases the flesh, eases the mind, pleases the world, and pleases the devil? Or is it the kind that pleases the Lord? Are you saved? Do you want to be saved? Will you believe in Jesus? Will you obey his will? Simon Peter got the answer right, and he only got it right because it was revealed to him by the Lord. Today, the Lord has revealed his identity in the Bible, which is freely available and offered for all. Now is the time to be saved, and we are given the easy steps of salvation in the Scriptures. First, you must hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We have studied the Word of God today in relation to the claims of and about Jesus, and it is up to you to decide whether or not you believe these things about Jesus, Mark 16:16. Now, if you do decide that you believe Jesus, his words, and the testimonies about him, then you can repent of your life that is contrary to him, and repent of your sins, make a change in your life and a commitment to serve the Lord, Acts 17:30. You can confess Jesus as the Son of God, as the Scriptures profoundly teach, Matthew 10:32. And finally, you can be baptized or immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Mark 16:16. In addition to this, you may already be a member of the Lord's church, but perhaps you've sinned of a public nature or simply need the prayers of the church. If you are one of either case, please take this time and come forward so that we can assist you in any way as we stand and sing.